This episode of The Nate Darling Show is radio-friendly. All the funny, none of the cursing. They've gathered all the nonsense from around the world to mock it. This is The Nate Darling Show.
You guys were excellent today.
Hey, thanks a lot. We'll see you inside.
Now, here's Nate and the gang.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Friday, the Friday episode of The Nate Darling Show. Kareem and Jason with me as always. Gentlemen.
What up? Good to be back.
I say as always, but Kareem's got a trip coming up in about a month, going to Hawaii.
Hawaii?
Jason's got a baby on the way.
Mm-hmm.
Any idea how many weeks we won't be seeing you?
I don't know. Like, I have no...
Have you discussed this with your wife?
I'm sure that she'll want me out of the house at certain points, you know?
Have you sat down and discussed how this baby's going to affect the podcast?
It's not even on our list, bro.
Well, maybe that's part of the problem.
Actually, me and your wife discussed it when we were at the baby shower.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I remember that conversation.
Yes, and I think she said that, you know, it might be a good way to get you out of the house sometimes.
Exactly. She's fine for it.
It's true. It's true. So we got all those things coming. Of course, my wedding's coming up. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of things going on. So there will be repeats around the end of November. Because I ain't working hard enough to get all of the shows in the can by then.
We can just do an extra show every week.
Just one more show. No, we totally could. But there'll be some classic episodes.
Hmm.
So people who are dropping in and new will be hearing stuff they hadn't heard before. Yeah. And you might hear a classic show that you haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah.
Those are fun, too.
They're fun.
Speaking of fun classics, guess who I saw out riding bicycles on, not Memorial Day, on Labor Day?
I'm going to say that it was Christiana, Rob, and T.
It was not.
Oh.
It was not. Kareem, do you have a guess?
Oh, I know.
It was a couple. I will give Jason partial credit.
Becca and Ted?
No, it was not. It was, do you know?
Mel and Paul.
Nope.
All right. Well, it was only...
No, it was Larry and Adam Glover Mead.
Oh, look at that.
Out riding their bicycles down the road. We had gone over to the Arden area and we had swung through the Starbucks and we were pulling out and saw a couple of guys ride by on their bicycles, and I'm like, there's a tall fellow. And then I thought, there's a round fellow. And I'm like, wait, that's Larry. That's Larry and Adam. Larry always wears a polo shirt, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you know it's Larry.
That's Larry for
he's,
you.
He's the guy with the polo shirt. So we were trying to not be like the startling ones. So when we were pulling up by them, I rolled down my window. And Leslie's like, are you going to say hi? And I go, of course I'm going to say hi. So as we're coming up, we got past Adam, and I looked back and I said, hey, Adam. And then we went past Larry, and I said, hey, Larry, what's going on? And he's like, hey, guys. Hey, Leslie, nice to meet you. And then we drove off.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was weird. It's because Costco was closed on Labor Day.
No.
So there was virtually nothing going on over in that area other than Starbucks and REI being open. So they were out on a little bike ride.
Awesome.
Oh, that's so cute.
Little romantic bike ride.
Is REI? I thought REI was closing.
No.
Didn't they go? I thought they went bankrupt.
No. What is wrong with you?
Obviously.
Sports Authority went bankrupt.
Okay.
They're closed.
Yes.
They're gone.
Okay.
Circuit City, gone.
Yeah, well, I know them.
Linens and things gone.
Circuit City's coming back, though.
Mm-hmm. But it won't be real Circuit City.
Good Guys isn't coming back?
I have no idea what's going on.
The Warehouse, Blockbuster, Hollywood Video.
Sam Goody.
Oh, my gosh.
Sam Goody. So any plans for the weekend, gentlemen? Anything good going on? Anything exciting?
I think I'm going to a concert tonight.
Oh.
Hmm.
And anyone good?
That girl missed it.
Oh, obviously, it's someone good. Like, no, it's a terrible concert.
It's a horrible, horrible band.
Terrible. I kind of wanted to go see Red Green, who is a Canadian character.
Hmm.
The guy's name is Steve Smith, and he's a sketch performer, and he has the character Red Green, who was on Canadian television for years, and on PBS here in the States, and he is going to be in Sacramento tonight at the Crest, but I'm also looking at other things and going, do I really have $100 to drop on two tickets to go?
Oh my gosh, $100.
Well, $50 a ticket.
Yeah.
You know, you got to cover costs for something like this. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I'm never going to get a chance to see him again.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going just for nostalgia if I go. So I'm sort of up in the air on this
one. Like, will it even be a good show?
You know what? I think it will be. Will Leslie enjoy it? Probably not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
although she might, because if you've ever seen anything with Red Green, let me see if I can call up a little Red Green for you, so that you can understand what that's all about.
Y'all aren't going to see Chris Isaak at the Grove?
No. Kareem, are you going? You want to see Chris Isaak?
No.
Jason, anything for you this weekend?
Well, it is the Sacramento Comedy Festival, so I'll be at shows. I have a friend, Mike DeVore from San Diego. That'll be up, I think, doing a stand-up show on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have another group of friends, the Revengers, that are going to be here on Saturday. I have a show on Saturday, and then I'm going to be in a show on Sunday, too. So.
Oh, busy.
Mm-hmm. Busy weekend.
Busy. We are probably going to be registering in places. Wedding stuff, getting that locked down. Here's a little taste of Red Green from the old TV show.
There's a poker craze going on TV right now that brings out mixed emotions for me. On the one hand, knowing that millions of people are willing to watch six ugly fat guys play cards for an hour gives me renewed hope for the success of our show. On the other hand, a lot of these people who are watching are women, and they're getting to see something very dangerous, men bluffing. Pretty soon they'll become experts, because that's what women do. They'll become experts on figuring out when men are bluffing. And not just any man, I'm talking about you and me. Once our women can spot when we're bluffing, life as we know it will be over. They'll know stuff like when we're right, we just quiet down and let them talk themselves into our little trap. But when we have nothing, that's when we come out with guns blazing. And you can forget the tricks you see on those poker shows. Pulling your cowboy hat down over your face or wearing glasses with eyeballs painted on them isn't going to fool that certain lady. She'll read you like a book and book you like a repeat offender. Women have no sympathy for a bluffer, so don't bluff. I suggest you fold them, or you'll never get to hold them. Remember, I'm pulling for you. We're all in this together.
So it's that type of show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's something that she might enjoy, but we'll see. I don't know if I'm going to go or not. Up in the air, as it were. Up in the air. All right. So in a confidential memo to fellow staffers, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee's diversity director last year outlined best practices with dealing with the radical Black Lives movement, including the avoidance of phrases like "all lives matter" and "black-on-black crime," which anger BLM activists and are viewed as red herring attacks. That's a quote from the memo.
That is good advice.
The November 2015 memo, authored by Troy Perry, notes that the document should not be emailed or handed to anyone outside the building. Please only give campaign staff these best practices in meetings or over the phone. The memo was posted last week to the WordPress blog of Gussifer 2.0, the hacker who has taken credit for intrusions into the DCCC and the Democratic National Committee computer systems. Since writing the BLM memo, Perry has left the DCCC for a job with Hillary Clinton's campaign. Noting that presidential candidates have struggled to respond to tactics of BLM, Perry advised that House candidates and campaign staff should be prepared. To that end, he counseled that if approached by BLM activists, staffers should meet with the group members and listen to their concerns, but not offer support for concrete policy positions. He recommended Democrats be a partner and lead from behind, since leery BLM members don't want their movement co-opted by the Democratic Party.
Good, great advice.
On the message, on the topic of message, the memo declares, do not say all lives matter, nor mention black-on-black crime. These phrases, Perry wrote, are all viewed as red herring attacks and would prompt unwanted media attention and only anger BLM activists. This is the worst response. Perry suggested several talking points regarding BLM when dealing with media and activists. A history of systemic racism continues to confront the daily lives of African Americans, he wrote, and the country must look for ways to address this legacy and make sure that African Americans are treated with fairness and dignity. So I don't see a problem with that being leaked.
No. Yeah. he gave them the perfect advice.
Which is why he's working for the Hillary campaign now.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, because it was one of those things where it's like, how do you deal with these? There's a bunch of angry black people out here, and we don't know how to deal with them.
And they, guess what? They were smart enough to listen.
Well, at least they were smart enough to pretend to listen.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretend to listen to them and act sympathetic.
Yeah, exactly. But that's, you know, better than watching Donald Trump surrogates on CNN talk to black people like they're not talking to black people. Like, well, this black person said, it's like, you realize I'm black, right?
It's like you're all different, Kareem.
Like, you realize you're talking to black people over here, right? Like, well.
So, Kareem, are black people all different or are you all alike? Which is it?
We're both.
Like women.
We're like women.
God damn it.
Yes. No, but there are certain things, there are certain conversations that you can have. Like, you can't talk to, you can't generalize to black people about black people the way that they tend to do.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, well, you know, I may not be that person, but I know somebody who is that person.
Mm-hmm.
And so for you to sit there and talk to me like you're telling me something that I don't know or haven't heard before. This is the thing. We know how the game is run. I keep telling y'all that. We know how the game is run. So when they're going down that trail, we're like, oh, okay, I see what you're doing. And at this point, they run the game for white people. They don't run the game for us. It's like when they talk about Donald Trump talking about black people. He's not talking to black people. He's talking to white people. Because he wants to make them feel like he's not being racist towards black people.
All I know is he said black people are going to love him.
Yeah, no.
Some of them will. Meanwhile, a shirtless man fired corn cobs at his neighbor's house using a potato gun.
Yes.
I don't know if that's okay, if it'll jam the potato gun, but a Rhode Island man, there's a new state for us, opened fire on his neighbor's home this week using corn cobs and a homemade potato gun.
That sounds awesome.
His name is Jeffrey Osella. He's 50, so you'd think he'd know better, but he's been feuding with his neighbor for 13 years.
That sounds about right.
And after a yelling argument between the two, he loaded corn cobs into a PVC pipe potato gun and shot them at his neighbor's house.
Yes.
This particular incident did not stem from a new argument. See, a girl riding a bicycle nearby dodged a cob, but no one was struck or injured. When police arrived, oh, he was intoxicated, shirtless, and covered in corn kernels.
Of course he was.
That's no way to go through life, son. Oh, so that's what's happening in Rhode Island this week. Sorry.
You never threw corn at your... are you the only kid, child?
I am, yes.
Oh, you know, you never threw corn at your friends? Or you did? Yeah, I have guys have corn up there.
We did not grow corn.
Oh, okay.
And... The other thing is, if I threw food at somebody, I would have caught holy hell for that.
Oh no! By the time that corn is like that, you just take it and wring it off. It's like hard corn.
Mm.
It's for pigs. It's for animals. It's not for people at that point.
Still, yeah. Pigs could have eaten that.
Yeah,
you should know better than that. Wasting food. You think food grows on trees? It ain't free. It ain't free. Meanwhile, in Massachusetts, a man broke into a house and painted a dog purple. They arrested the man on the island of Martha's Vineyard for allegedly breaking into a house, stealing a vehicle, and painting a dog purple. That's right.
That's where Jason was this weekend.
Wasn't the nursery. Oak Bluffs police said the man was sought in the theft of a vehicle Saturday, which was found crashed with the driver fleeing on foot. Minutes later, they received a report of a break-in at a residence in which a window was forced in, items were taken, and a dog was painted with purple paint. Say that three times fast. Felix Reagan, a suspect in both incidents, was allegedly found peering into the window of a nearby home. When he was taken into custody, he carried prescription pills, a driver's license, and credit cards, all stolen from the home. And his pants had purple paint, consistent with the paint found on the dog. While being transported to the police station, he allegedly kicked a police officer twice and attempted to kick out the windows of the police vehicle. He was charged with breaking and entering, a felony, theft of a motor vehicle, destruction of property, animal cruelty, possession of controlled substances, and assault and battery on a police officer. Back in June, they arrested him on charges including breaking and entering a home and possession of alcohol. He is a minor, by the way, so he's not even a full-grown boy.
Oh, man. Like, I mean, his parents, man, sorry for them.
You know, I think they probably shoulder a lot of the blame in how this young lad has turned out.
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
All right, first up in Cool or Tool, Black Lives Matter. Jason.
Oh, cool, without a doubt.
Kareem.
Cool.
Not touching that. No way. Up next in Cool or Tool, Neighbors. Kareem.
Darn it. That's a tough one.
It is.
I'm going to go with my neighborhood right now. They're cool.
Jason?
Yeah, cool.
Including the guy who you paid money to take care of the yard who didn't?
No, but he came back around and did, so. Oh, okay. It's all cyclical. And it worked out.
Yeah, neighbors, for the most part, neighbors are cool.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're having a fight with them.
Yeah.
Chuck your food. And finally in Cooler Tool, this one should be easy. Massachusetts. Massachusetts. Jason.
Well, so Tool.
Kareem?
Tool.
Oh, yeah. Tool. There's a reason there's a term masshole.
Yeah.
And it's not because it's an awesome place to be.
Not in the slightest.
Jerks! Dog painting weasels. Unless you're in Massachusetts and listening to the show, in which, hey, welcome.
You're like the best one.
Yeah, you probably moved there. You're not a local.
Yeah.
And the people you know are probably great.
Yeah.
And it's just a few bad apples kind of sour the whole bunch.
Yeah, and if you have family that lives there, I mean, your family moved there for a job or for school or something.
Or at least came over on a boat.
Yeah.
They probably wouldn't, you know, paint a dog.
I mean, we got Wahlburgers because of that place. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, now you're swinging the other way.
Am I now?
Swinging the other way.
All right.
See, here's the thing about Massachusetts. For every Mark Wahlberg great moment, there's Donnie.
Oh, man. That's what I'm talking about.
Just saying. And you know what? Even Mark got a lot of strikes on that record.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So,
down, down.
That is Massachusetts. That's how the Wahlbergs are Massachusetts. You're welcome. And thanks to everybody who's shopping Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. Hey, if you're not doing it already, go ahead. It's fun. It's magical. It's like a magic trick because you click that Shop Amazon tab, it brings you to Amazon.com, and you're like, am I doing it?
Did I do it?
You did.
You did.
You totally did. If you click that Shop Amazon tab and then you buy some stuff, they'll kick a few pennies our way and it will not cost you anything extra. So that's how you can support the show.
That's how you can.
That's all we ask for. 3 free shows a week, every week. We're trained entertainers here.
Trained.
In a variety of comedic exploits.
Without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And where did it go? Oh. Oh, yeah, there we go. That's it. That's fine. this story tickled me.
Oh, did it?
It did.
Where did it tickle you at?
Oh, all over, Kareem. Let me pop it up here for you so you can see the headline, read it for yourself. Japanese fisherman uses karate skills to fend off bear.
Oh, yes. Wow.
That's the best.
Which tells me that the Japanese fisherman had better karate skills than the little kid in fourth grade, who decided to inform everybody that he now knew karate. Mm-hmm. You better watch out. That kid was not to be feared at all. A Japanese fisherman called upon his martial arts skills after being attacked by a large bear near a local river. According to the Straits Times, the 6-foot-tall Asian black bear approached the man as he was fishing near the Jizo River. At first glance, it seemed like something was there, and it was a bear with an imposing stance, as all bears would have, I would think. It came pouncing toward me when my eyes met the bear's, he told the media. Its rounded ears were perfectly circular, just like a teddy bear's, and its face was so huge. The 63-year-old man, who holds a black belt in karate, engaged with the bear and managed to fend off its attack. See, karate is for defense, not for attack. The bear had such great strength, I was knocked over it. And when he leapt at me, it scratched me and bit me. But in the end, I managed to trick the bear, poked it in the eyes, and it ran away. Gunma police told the Japan Times they received reports of bears in the area and discouraged residents from fighting back, as the fishermen had done. If you witness a bear, don't fight. Walk away quietly and report it to the police instead, and we'll come out and arrest the bear.
Those police wear many different hats.
The fisherman was able to bring himself to a nearby hospital where he was treated for minor injuries after receiving bite and claw marks on his head, body, and arms. Yeah, listen, Lou, we got a report of a bear out there. We need you to go out and look at it, see what's going on. Maybe bring him in. Bring in the bear. Don't fight the bear. Walk away.
He really does believe they're honorably white.
It's the same advice you'd give someone dealing with a crackhead.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fight with a crackhead. Just walk away and report it to the police. But weird things happen, and sometimes you got to break out the karate skills.
Sometimes.
From goofballs to gators, here's Florida Corner.
All right, we got a little supersized Florida Corner for you this time. This first one, interesting really only for the man's name, where Florida police have arrested Vladimir Putin for trespassing at a public supermarket.
Hilarious.
Here's the thing, Vladimir Putin looks a lot like Kareem.
No, he doesn't.
He's got the same scraggly beard. He does have dreadlocks, though. Putin, who's 48, was collared after cops responded to a 911 call about a man causing a disturbance at a public supermarket in West Palm Beach. According to the store manager, Putin had screamed at employees. He was subsequently arrested by police, charged with trespassing and obstructing officers without violence. After being handcuffed, he yelled, "Venezuela!" several times while being led to a patrol car. He's pleaded not guilty to the misdemeanor counts. He was freed from the Palm Beach County Jail, where he's locked up, in lieu of a $1,000 bond. Judge ordered him to undergo mental health assessment. He's scheduled for a September 26th court appearance. The police department identifies the suspect as John Doe, so it appears that the Putin handle surfaced at some point post-arrest.
Maybe, I would tell him my words.
I'm Vladimir Putin.
Venezuela! Venezuela!
Meanwhile, another Florida man was arrested after police said he was found roaming around a park with an airsoft rifle and wearing a dinosaur costume. Because why not?
Wow.
Anthony Bergen, who's 19, was found walking around a Cocoa Area park in a gamer-type dinosaur costume. Jason, any idea what that would be?
You got one of those, don't you?
No. I can only assume that it must be like a Pokemon, like, type of Pokemon.
With a tactical police type vest and a black ski mask while holding a black ski mask and a dinosaur costume. This sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
While holding an airsoft rifle and multiple magazines for the gun, WFLA reported police said Bergen told them he was part of a gaming group and wanted to participate in a flash mob. This is why I've always said I do not trust flash mobs. They're no good to anybody ever. Ever, ever. He was arrested on suspicion of disorderly conduct and wearing a mask while committing an offense at a park.
What was his offense at the park?
I don't know.
Like, that was like...
It was an offense.
But, like, I mean, like, the poor guy, the guy, I guarantee you, the guy got tricked by his buddies, and, like, said, all right, hey, listen, we're all going to meet up. We're going to be dressed like, it's going to be, like, we're going to airsoft. I mean, because, like, yeah, I've known friends that would do this back in the day. Like, they would have gotten dressed up and, like, with airsoft guns and shot each other in a park. They would have gotten together and done that. Some of them were Marines that would have been down with doing that.
We did it for fun.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Like,
well, sure, why not?
Oh no, I think we wouldn't have went in the park and did it. We just did it around the house.
Yeah, well, that too. Yeah.
On the farm.
And finally, a Florida man was arrested last week after cops say he used his own wanted poster for his Facebook profile picture.
Wow. Oh, man.
His name is Mac Yearwood, and he was arrested on 2 outstanding warrants by Stewart police. They say the photo helped lead them to him. They posted on Facebook, "Facebook is a great way to communicate and connect with old friends and family. If you're wanted by the police, it's probably not a good idea to use the wanted of the week poster of yourself as your profile pic." Mac Yearwood clearly thought differently. On Tuesday, Stewart police caught up with Mr. Yearwood and arrested him with 2 outstanding warrants. While he was taken into custody, he was asked to put on a pair of jeans that were located on the floor beside him. Mr. Mac must have forgotten that his bag of marijuana was still in the pocket. Mr. Yearwood also picked up an additional charge of possession of cannabis under 20 grams.
Man.
Jason, would you like to defend him?
Not in any way.
Not even for the possession of cannabis of under, I mean, under 20 grams?
No, I mean, that it's ridiculous that they would just add something onto it. But he's already should be going back in the front. You know what I mean? Like, he's where he belongs.
Well, he did have 2 outstanding warrants.
Yeah.
Hey, put on your jeans. All you have to say is, like, man, those are dirty. Can I grab a clean pair?
Yeah. It's all you need is, can I put on a new clean? Or how about this? Don't put your wanted poster on your Facebook. I mean, right there. That guy, what an idiot.
Well, criminals aren't known for being smart.
Right. Wow.
Criminal mastermind is really a relative term.
No. Well, that he was not.
No.
Alrighty, that's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. I apologize if it was not as professional as it should have been. I was very disappointed in myself.
No, it was fine.
I don't think it was.
You did a great job.
Those were very bad times.
Now I'm just going to beat myself up about it all weekend long.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to take one of these too. Not you know, for the ladies, but because I deserve this. Wow,
that hurt. That looks like it hurt.
Right on the soul. Right on my soul as a broadcaster. Everybody have a great weekend. Not a long weekend this time, though.
No.
But still, we'll be back on Monday with the airing of the grievances.
Mm.
I don't know about you guys, but I have one.
Uh-oh.
I have 2.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Jason, do you have 3?
There's so many.
So many grievances.
So many.
We'll leave you with Congos. This is Take It From Me on the Nate Darling Show. Bye-bye, everybody. A split second too late to bring it to a halt. You're hypnotized. Your feet follow your shoes. It's kind of like a cigarette smoke at you. When you start, it's just a matter of time. Any minute you will cross that line. Nothing can stop me.
Thanks for listening, and remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.